Welcome to the Granada Forum. The Granada Forum is an informational resource center that provides an alternative media for America and the world to view their own opinions and to think their own minds. Tonight, on December 6, 2006, it's Pearl Harbor Day at the Granada Forum. And we're coming to you live from Los Angeles, California. Can everyone hear me? Great. So let me bring in this wonderful guest so that you can see what I know. Dr. Deagle, Dr. William Deagle, is the founder of Nutra Medical since 1999. Dr. Deagle is a teacher of medicine, a student, and he proctored at the University of Colorado School of Medicine. Dr. Deagle, will be speaking on a variety of subjects, matters of national security, and the dangerous situations that are evolving in this country today. So without any further ado, let's give Dr. William Deagle a warm round of applause at the Granada Forum.
Thanks, everyone. I really want to thank everybody that came out tonight. And as I say, everybody that's here is supposed to be here. However, many or few there are, I hope there are many that are going to be watching this on DVD and online, because some of the things I'm going to say tonight hopefully will not only inform but transform you, so that when you're finished the seminar tonight, there'll be things you'll hear tonight that you've never heard in your whole life, even if you've been studying this area for a long time. What I'm going to do is it'll integrate. You always learn what you know that's related to things you previously knew. And some of those are not just physical things, because we are a spirit being. We know things in the intellectual realm, but we also know spirit words and spirit thoughts and realities. And those of us realize that the ultimate problems in our society are not a technical one, they're always spiritual. And that transcends religion. Religion is a substitute. So we're going to talk about four different talks tonight. And if I can get my PowerPoint behaving here, we are ready to view the show. Firstly, conspiracy realities of 9/11. To avian flu and beyond. And I'm going to deal with both fact, not conjecture. I try to give you both the forest and a tree's view, so you'll see things tonight that you knew and things that you didn't know. Some of it's going to be very shocking. People like myself, people like Eric Schein, who's also on RBN, he has a wonderful show on the weekend. And I don't think Eric made it tonight. Is Eric here? But Eric may be online. He lives here in California. We also have people like Stephen E. Jones, a professor at the University of Utah, that actually presented information proving that Thermate was involved with the bombs in WTC, which, of course, cut up the building. It was not jet aircraft. And I'm going to show you information tonight that will prove that there's a lot more to this. And I'm going to bring you not just at the end of one maze, but I'm going to show you the matrix of all of the mazes, hopefully, tonight. As far as the rabbit trail will take you. So without ado, let's go on to the next slide. In 1995, I was working at Penrose St. Francis Hospital in Colorado Springs as an occupational doctor. And what they like to do is they had a habit of wanting to hire civilian doctors. I was a civilian, although I'd worked with the military many years in both Canada and the United States. I'm a dual citizen. I'm from Detroit, Michigan, licensed in three provinces. Is it cutting it off? Ooh, how's that doing that? I think maybe the slide projector can be moved just a bit. Well, yeah, I'm not sure if the... Oh, okay. All right. I'll continue, because you'll get all of the gist of this, and you'll be able to get the PowerPoints later. You can get them online. I worked at Penrose St. Francis Hospital, and we had my boss, Major George Swinder, was supposed to actually do the exit exam on the Oklahoma City Forensic Munitions Team that came back from the Murrah Building when it was exploded in 1995. And he was away, and I was the senior doctor. I'm going to be 55 this February. I've been in practice for almost 30 years. Practice about everything you can imagine, from emergency department, intensive care, burn units, trauma units, ICUs in the middle of nowhere, 300 miles from everywhere you can imagine, in the middle of mountains to military and nuclear medicine, and also handled the teams working on Operation Top Off and movement of our bioweapons, nuclear weapons, and also with facilities such as U.S. Space Command, Strategic Defense Command, Star Wars, Falcon Air Force Base, etc. And what happened is in this time, one of the five gentlemen told me that he wanted me to do further evaluations of him because he had radiation exposure. And of course, I was a chemist before I went into medicine and did marine bacteriology research. I was a charter member of Greenpeace back in the early 70s before I went into medicine. And I said, well, this was an ANFO bomb. It was a ammonium nitrate bomb. That couldn't cause radiation burns. He said, you don't understand. I said, look, unless you tell me the truth, I'm not going to do anything for you. You know, gruff old ER doc. And he said, after he broke down after about 15 minutes, he actually started to almost cry. He was pupils pinpoint, ashen white, scared to death. And this guy's a special op military munitions guy that works around things like, you know, high explosives. So obviously, that's not the kind of person that's a special op guy that gets scared easy. So he told me in great detail over the next 2 hours and 15 minutes how the Oklahoma City Murrow buildings were brought down by micro nukes that were put in there, a U.S. Army Corps engineer, by FBI and ATF agents, and by thermite and other high explosives, including two micro nukes they removed, and a C4 pineapple, another C4 that were placed on the inside pillars of the building. I filed that away, but 4.5 months later, his commanders at Fort Carson found out, and he got court-martialed. I've never heard from him again. God knows what happened to him. And when they found out, they hauled me into the conference room and tried to threaten me, and I said, you don't threaten me. I said, because they're in the process of trying to fire me, you know, this is what they call a little rendition. I said, you're going to cut me a check for $35,000, letter of reference, and if you come within 500 miles of me or my family with any of your operatives, I said, I will, or my buddies will take you out. And I meant it. And so I got my check cut in it within a half an hour, and a letter of reference, and I left there, but I filed it away. I didn't talk to anybody until I brought the information out on Alex Jones' show a few years ago. In my exposures, I have been in underground cities. I have worked for the Iridium Satellite Project. I've been on the doctor for U.S. Space Command, Strategic Defense, the Echelon Project, and the World Identification. And I've taken care of people that have been in the most classified facilities on the planet in Colorado. And Colorado has more classified material underground there and more computing power, quantum computing, than all the rest of the planet put together by a very large order of magnitude. And most of these facilities are in underground cities. And I was in one of them, and it was very impressive. It's Schriever Air Force Base, east 18 miles east of Colorado Springs. And the facility... the main facility building is actually underground, about a quarter mile, and it was shielded in 2.5 inches of seamless stainless steel, ringed by an anti-missile system and scalar weapons, as well as a full tactical division of Star Wars weaponry. And they had a quantum array, and I physically walked through the quantum array. It's gallium arsenide Cray-5 computers. You may have heard that these other teraflop computers are the most powerful in the world, and they're liars. The most powerful computer was developed by Seymour Cray, who 11 months after his discovery, his systems went Section 11, I believe it is, Chapter 11, and he died on the I-25 freeway just north of Air Force Academy in one of these weird accidental deaths, where a car crossed the freeway in complete bright, clean, black top and completely T-boned his car and crushed him and killed him instantly. So Seymour Cray had done the impossible. He'd actually, without zero gravity, created a gallium arsenide chip that had to be created at almost minus 200 degrees Kelvin in order to create this chip that allowed quantum computing. To give you an idea, the Cray-4 computer, Cray-5 can do the calculations in teraflops that's equivalent to 100,000 Cray-4s. Gives you an idea just how powerful this is. And I'll show you tonight why quantum computing is part of the matrix they're building, and why this is so important. When I walked through the array, they had hundreds and hundreds of Cray computers, all in a giant cube underground, connected by fiber optic high-speed networks. And they weren't just using regular, they were using ultraviolet fiber optics, which is much, much higher speed information transfer. Huge cables the size of your thumb, hundreds and hundreds of them connecting through this array. And if you knew the computing power, they are, and I was told this by my NSA contacts, because I had very high contacts, people that literally on a need-to-know basis the president does not have access to. So a lot of the people don't understand that most of the senior people in our Congress and Senate, if they're watching this video, I'm going to tell them stuff that they don't know, even if they're on the Armed Services Committee. They will not know what I know. Part of the reason is I would exchange information and have a photographic memory with many of the people in different divisions of the military and intelligence, and they would freak out when I would tell them out of their highly compartmentalized area exactly what was going on in the next room or the next building or the next facility underground. Echelon project is just the tip of the iceberg. They have had a database not only of everybody's dial tone and identification data of every citizen in every westernized nation on the planet, but they have been doing this for well over 26 years, and that database is all ready to stick the chip in you and track you for your global identification. I was actually given a private audience for a gentleman back in 1998 who in 1995 had actually done a presentation to Lockheed Martin and Lucent Technologies, and have a 600 and some page copy of his patent application for the world identification. And he went over the details, and the people at Lockheed Martin and Lucent told him that his information was useful, but they'd all gone well beyond that, and he thought of a few good ideas that they'd incorporate. So they said, well, you're going to buy my patent or incorporate? No, we don't need you. So they've been doing this for a long time. The smart highways, the Iridium satellite system, the cell towers, all of these things are integrated into a system that is literally beyond your imagination. As far as you think any of these B-movies or technologies, it is orders of magnitude and ages beyond anything you can imagine. And it exists today already. All that is left is the implementation. So in 1999, I met with the people that we were doing our operational tests for Operation Top Off and Dark Winter with Dr. Jay Reddington from the University of Colorado, Department of Infectious Disease at the VA, and the Center for Disease Control Director for the FBI, Director for Bioterrorism. And we were doing simulations. We did bioterrorism simulations at the Performing Arts Center in Denver, and also at the 17th Avenue. And in the Performing Arts Center, we did a simulation where we pretended that it was a release of a bubonic plague and tried to simulate if people would gather the correct information at the local hospitals to be able to back calculate when the release was and who would have been gotten sick, and knowing how long the incubation period, who would survive. Well, we failed miserably on that, and in a test in anthrax sprayed out of a second floor window on 17th Avenue. We also did a simulation in Boulder, the supercomputer there, a National Weather Service supercomputer there, and found that we pretended on the supercomputer, we did a simulation of someone coming in from Cairo, Egypt, with injected with weaponized smallpox. And our computers predicted that 93 countries and 93 million Americans would be infected in 90 days. That, of course, is a computer simulation. There's lots of parameters that that would confound that reality. But nevertheless, they've been doing all these simulations. Well, on March 1 of 2001, a couple years after this, I met again at a bioterrorism conference with Dr. Reddington, the FBI and CDC directors, and the FBI director leaned across the table at lunch, because we had a private lunch, because I was one of the inner circle, and said to me in no certain terms that there will be a Pearl Harbor event. Interesting, it's Pearl Harbor Day today, December 7th, 2006. And this event will, with a 95% probability, bring about martial law in America and a national ID with an implantable chip. And he said all of those things, and he repeated them three times so that it would sink in. And I asked him questions for the next hour and a half, and because he wouldn't tell me straight out exactly what simulations, because we talked about everything from jet aircraft going into buildings to micro nukes in cities to bioterrorism release to things in the water to nanoweapons to all kinds of things. And one of the scenarios that was one of the top three or four was jet aircraft going into World Trade Center towers. So when they say, when you hear Condoleezza Rice lying and saying that they never thought of it, they told me that there were actually simulations of jet aircraft planned to go in at that time, later that year, probably in September, into the WTC towers. So when I was driving my children, because I lived in South Denver, in Hounds Ranch, driving them to the charter school 1 mile from Columbine, I was enraged. And the rage isn't even a strong enough word to understand that they actually took those towers down, and I knew that they did it. Because I have advanced training in technology. I was supposed to go into nuclear physics at MIT, and I went into honors biochemistry and completed my PhD research project in 5 months at age 20. I didn't write my thesis because I went into medicine, so I'm not exactly stupid. And when these people did this, I knew that they had not only struck a dagger into the hearts of Americans, but they'd killed people in 82 nations. And this is the sentinel event of our century, not just in the physical realm, but in the spiritual realm, because we're actually approaching a thing called the Nexus, which I'm going to talk in my fourth talk about. When we have whistleblowers like Stephen Jones, with his thermite and his very solid science proving it, and Dr. Ward, who spoke on my radio show a few months ago, is a medical doctor who's retired about 9 years, who did a very recent analysis proving that there were micro-nukes in the building, cars and other vehicles were melted on one side and not the other. Particleization of 2/3 of the total mass of the World Trade Center towers that were turned to nanoparticles. The only thing that could have done that was nukes. There is no other conclusion. It's not something that's open to discussion or anything else, because even high explosives couldn't have done what was found there. And there were reports, not only by the Pentagon, but by other independent sources, that there were radioisotopes detected at some distance away from the WCC towers as well as Pentagon. So whether they had a DU-tipped missile or a small bomb or micro-nukes, there were radioisotopes involved, as well as the high explosive thermite in the bringing down of those towers. And from my contacts in the NSA, they were operationally ordered by the Jesuits through the Project Omega, which is the final implementation of the project conceived by the Nazis during the Second World War, before the Second World War in the 1930s. Project Omega is a super agency that oversees all intelligence agencies on the planet. Their underground facilities are in Colorado. It was completed under the operational directorship of George Herbert Walker Bush, the senior Bush. And this agency is involved not only with all the deep underground bases, but also our off-world facilities and our off-world fleets of space-based aircraft and other advanced technologies that you can't imagine exist. So the level of evil is beyond imagination. Let's see. Cooperate. Now I just have to get it to change. Here we go. Well, the Patriot Act, does anybody know what Patriot means? Well, what it means is providing advanced technologies to receive and intercept operational terrorism. It has nothing to do with patriotism. This Patriot Act, by the way, I had my special op in Delta, because I taught the course February 12th, 2002, to the special op in Delta. We're auditing my course for the American Academy of Environmental Medicine. I was a primary professor teaching the course in bioterrorism in St. Louis in February 12, 2002. And I reviewed all of the history of bioterrorism and the operational dangers of both military operations, detecting, public health, and response. And after, for the next 3 or 4 days, I exchanged stories with all these guys, and their eyes lit up, even fellows that had been in lots of countries doing lots of bad things, killing people and breaking things. But I freaked them out, but what I knew, and they taught me a lot of stuff. And they're my best buddies, because they love hearing somebody like me that's out of the box and not afraid. I'm not afraid to die tonight, because if we don't fight this, we're all dead. And we're not just talking about death of our civilization, we're talking about death of our planet. Because of what I'm going to show you tonight, we have roughly a year. And that's a pretty hard estimate. We got about a year, year and a half maybe, to turn this thing around, just like the Titanic heading toward the iceberg. And if we don't stop this, and there's so many events that are converging, it's over. It's not only over for humanity, it's over for our planet. Because we're involved in something much bigger than the New World Order. And that's why when you hear various patriots to talk about one issue or another and they lock onto it alone, I'm going to show you the forest and the trees, so you'll see things tonight that even if you focus on a few issues, you're going to hear things that are going to be very shocking to you tonight. So the large sections of the Patriot Act I actually received from my special op Delta buddies that I taught and worked with back in Colorado. And I received them 2 years before 9/11. That's interesting, isn't it? Parts of the Patriot Act have been written, and I was told by my friends, were around, sitting around documents in the Pentagon and elsewhere for up to 12 to 15 years before 9/11. So they've been in the works for decades. And again, just repeating that, if you see that statement there, there will be a Pearl Harbor event. And that's serious when we're talking about a Pearl Harbor event. Now, the next big thing you need to be really aware of is the avian flu. And I'm going to tell you a story about this. And you might hear disinformation saying it's not going to be a problem. Don't believe it. This is the Brainiac virus. This virus is the most intelligent, deadly weapon that has ever been released. There is nothing like it in history. And the reason why, and I'll tell you why it is, and this is a very interesting story. I've had Dr. Henry L. Nyman on my program from Recombinomics for the past 2 years until about 4 months ago. Henry was on about every 2 weeks. He's also on the Jeff Rentz show. And I like to do a lot of my own producing. So I spend dozens and hundreds of hours. Sometimes I'm working 20, 22 hours a day trying to collect material and analyze it. Because I know when I look around to see if they're my colleagues, my doctors, I call my quivering white-coated colleagues who are shivering jellyfish, if they will back me up or if they'll try to corroborate, or scientists. Well, Dr. Nyman is a genius. There's no doubt. He has more patents on gene analysis, on viral sequencing and recombination, and his theories are correct. Recombination is how viruses change. They don't change by mutation, contrary to Dr. Fauci, the monster Fauci, who was behind the HIV spread and the research, and Dr. Gerberding, who is the head of the Center for Disease Control, who's also involved intimately with the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Disease and the World Health Organization on the resurrection and the promulgation of this plague. And the money trail goes right back to the Rothschilds and the Jesuits. Okay? Now, I received the documents when I went to speak against fetal tissue transplantation and cyborg research at Human Life International, a private audience with the International Board, March 16, 1997. And when I spoke to the International Board of their top doctors and scientists at HLI in Zurich, they gave me almost 8 inches of documentation, not only about the avian flu, but about the AIDS virus and about vaccines to create sterile populations in sub-Saharan Africa to get rid of 185 excess sub-Saharan Africans. The AIDS virus was created directly under the control of the World Health Organization and the globalists, and I received those documents. And I personally was recruited in 1974 to take a year off of medical school and do my PhD in virology with the CIA in Uganda to actually work on retroviruses and recombination to actually create the AIDS virus. So I turned it down. But I know firsthand, not secondhand, about this, but I have further corroboration from my documents I got March 16, 1997. Well, the most disturbing is the avian flu. The avian flu was created with a bioengine using gene fragments of deceased miners in Alaska. They took these fragments and using a bioengine actually recreated the virus from nothing. They succeeded in doing this at the Center for Disease Control in Atlanta. We know the names of the scientists involved, but the real story comes when you actually go letter by letter, and I'm a details person, if you can probably understand that, but I'm also a spiritual person. But I'm a real details person. I want to know every dot and comma and which way the comma is twisted. And so I started analyzing the DNA sequences over the last few years and spending many, many hours on the phone off air talking to Dr. Nyman, pulling every article in the world up on avian flu. And what I discovered was very, very disturbing. The lethal genes, if you look at this, the same gene polymorphisms that killed my grandmother's brother and sister in the 1918-1919 pandemic, her sister died, and then a week later, because the brother had held his sister at graveside before the coffin was closed, he died. So I have a personal vendetta with this, because this virus, by the way, You should know the 1918 flu was created through viral pass-through technologies that were being developed under the Vice President at the time of Theodore Roosevelt. So we've actually had bioweapons programs in operation for over a century in America. The virus originated in Fort Lupton, Kansas, beside a military base. And if you line up the DNA letters, the DNA letters are a perfect match for the human WSN-33 human strain of virus, which is the oldest strain in American databases, and the Iowa pig flu strain from the 1930s. The oldest strains, you can line up the DNA letters and show that the 1918 flu is a human pig hybrid. But what you find is the H5N1, the very first strain analyzed, which is 1971 at the University of Edinburgh, Scotland, that discovered the H, which is the hemagglutinin 5. The H5N1 only had one polybasic amino acid in the cleavage site, which is one basic amino acid. So there's an enzyme inside the cells called an endonuclease, and that enzyme has to come up and actually cleave the H protein for it to enter the cells. But if there's six polybasic amino acids, it can enter the cells of any tissue of any mammal, brain, heart, bone marrow, liver, anyone. So I asked Dr. Nyman, I said, how likely is it that from 1971 to now that there'll be an increase from one polybasic amino acid to six when it's never been seen in any other virus in history? It wouldn't occur in 100 billion years. It's not going to happen. It's like winning 1,000 lotteries. It's not going to happen. Not only that, the same gene sequences, which are the lethal polymorphisms in the 1918 flu, are also present, the same letters. It's like winning with the same lottery numbers. Has anybody watched the show Lost? Right. Well, Lost, you keep on seeing these numbers appear over and over again. And that's actually a psychotrauma to you. Okay? Because they like doing what's called hyperspace archetypes. And I'll talk about that later. And those numbers are very significant. The DNA numbers, if those polymorphisms in 1918 are showing up, the same DNA letter changes that cause it to be lethal in the H5N1 in Asia, in an avian flu on a different continent 80-some years later. How likely is that, people? It's not going to happen. Not only that, there's a basic amino acid deletion of four amino acids in the NS1 gene, which is one of the eight genes, that makes it completely bypass the immune system of all mammals. So there's no interleukin 4, which is a primary warning system to activate your lymphocytes to fight any virus or bacteria. So you get a massive cytokine storm, and it particularly kills young and healthy with a strong immune system, very much like the hemorrhagic flu of 1918. This is like Ebola on roids. Okay? The lethality varies between 25 and 100%. Average lethality is 72% compared to 2.5% globally in 1918 during the steamship era. With jet engines, you can fly from here to Tokyo in a day. As a result, calculations done by Dr. Weber at the St. Jude Research Center in America, and Russian scientists and scientists that are affiliated with the CDC and elsewhere, have calculated out that if this becomes pandemic human, which is only requires two gene changes in position 224 and 226, or 228, just two changes, in the receptor binding domain, it's only five amino acids on the H gene. This will kill 2 billion people and infect 3/4 of the population of Earth and kill 2 billion minimum. This will trash society. But more importantly, if someone thinks that they have an antidote, it will force everyone to be quarantined, to be chipped, to be tracked, and everyone will be put into civil detention facilities. And this is a much better solution if you want to create a new global matrix than a nuclear war or anything else. This virus has moved progressively to recombine in places like the Middle East to H9N2, where it can swap the genes, and the H9N2, which is endemic to Israel, Iraq, and Afghanistan, and Turkey, and areas of the whole Middle East down to Yemen, has all five genes. So a simple recombination in one host, either a bird, a pig, or a human, can create a pandemic strain. We have clusters of people who have these pre-pandemic strains. What Henry has done has proved that it can happen spontaneously. So even without a release of, in the words of Alex Jones, the Zychronian 12 plague, this change is going to be devastating. And it will come. We are seeing the evolution of it. If they do not release a laboratory-based strain, it is a matter of months or several years maximum before we have a global pandemic of avian flu that will make literally the number dead will equal all the wars and all the pandemics in human history. That's serious. This is far more devastating to the human population than a nuclear war. And people need to understand, if someone does think they have an antidote to it, they're going to be very selective. Now, I'm going to tell you some things tonight that will probably kill it. I can't say for certain, but probably will kill us. The government has all kinds of things like scalar weapons against viruses, and all kinds of things that they think will help. None of the vaccines they're making are of any use whatsoever because the virus is genetically distinct into 12 substrains, six of them very lethal, between 25 and 100% lethal. Once they become efficient at transferring between humans and the virus survives long enough in the incubation period, doing any kind of screening at airports or otherwise is useless because a person can be a carrier for 3 to 5 days before they get sick and then suddenly develop a cytokine storm and drop dead or just have a heart attack. The virus also can grow in your brain, so you may not even cough once and just drop over dead with virus growing in your brain. So it may not present. You may just literally sit there and then start bleeding from your eyes and all orifices and drop dead instantly. That's what kind of virus this is. It's right out of a B-movie. And I'm saying it to people because I've been screaming for several years that we need to have proper public health measures to have HEPA filters in all aircraft and a chain of custody to transfer all materials to test every aircraft coming in the United States and elsewhere in Canada. We need to have proper evaluations of people coming into this country, whether it's resistant tuberculosis, leprosy, or other infectious diseases. And we need to stop this damn spraying of chemtrails that includes nanoorganisms that are silicon-based life forms that do not originate on this planet, as well as mycobacteria, Pseudomonas florensis, and other organisms that are destroying the health and immune systems of people. And they're doing it on purpose. It's part of their population control. So the reason why I'm speaking about these things is we're at the end of this age, and the masters of chaos have completely gone over the edge. So we only need two changes in the genes in order to cause this to happen. And it's literally the killer bees of all viruses, the brainiac, if you want to call it. And I like Alex Jones' term, so I'm going to steal it. He called it the Zichronian 12 plague because he's a skeptic. He thinks it's nothing. It's all a bunch of hype. It's not. This is not hype. When this thing gets out, it's going to make all the plagues of history look like nothing. And I can't tell you when it'll happen. But it's coming. The next thing is the MARC, which is, I call it the multiply addressable readable cryptographic. That's why I call it MARC, of the driver's ID. And the driver's ID I'm going to show you in one of my other talks. It's called the Technologies of the Electronic Cage, not Age. The National Animal Identification System, if everybody is familiar with, is a new system called the Active Live Chip System. And it actually can track an animal down to 1 cubic meter using satellite-based technology and low-Earth orbit satellites, the LEO system, as well as other systems, including it will be integrated to the smart highways, which they want to build off the I-35 Trans-Texas Kennemex Highway Corridor to all the other freeways that are going to be eventually all tolled in the North American Zone 3 World New World Order 10-zone world. January 1, 2008 to May 2008, full implementation of the national ID will require that you will not buy or sell, have a job, cash a check, cross a state line, or get on a bus, ship, plane, or train in America or in North America, because they're going to dissolve the U.S. Constitution. They're planning on putting the Mero, which they've already called for designs. They had a stock trader last week that already announced people should be positioning themselves to get out of the American dollar and get into the Mero, which is a new American currency that's coming. All of these things are real. They're not imaginary. And they are doing this because they are fast-tracking, and I'll tell you why as they integrate these talks, because I'm going to connect the dots so at the end of this talk you'll understand why pieces that you couldn't explain before will make sense after tonight. And I talk a little fast, so you'll need to get the DVD. January 17th to 23rd, 2007, no Canadians will be able to cross into the United States this coming January without a passport, and all passports for the past number of years have had a passive RFID chip in them, which means that up to 120 centimeters, they can scan your passport and tell who you are. But they're planning on switching those eventually to an active passport that can track you down to 1 cubic meter, and you'll have to carry your papers, please, or you'll immediately be detained and quarantined. And they'll require biometric identifiers, laser retinal scans, iris scans, and other things that are required, including a DNA analysis that can be done at a chip developed at the Oak Ridge National Labs and Argonne National Labs in Chicago that can do 100,000 DNA cleavage analyses with a microchip that was developed there in less than 5 minutes with a laptop-based microchip analysis system. So they have this all set up to DNA track and chip every single person on the planet, and it's all coming together right now. What will they pen us with? And when talking about penning, if you've seen cattle panned or sheep, they're going to try to use a whole lot of issues. And some of these you'll be familiar with, but when I lay it all out, you're going to see just how serious this matter is. So if your friends are asleep, I call it a sheep bull, they're going to find out the hard way that this is not a joke. And even if they've heard many people talking about these in the past, some great speakers here in the Granada Forum and listening to RBN or GCN, what I'm going to show you tonight is a vast panorama of dark, majestic, evil majesty. National debt and real estate bubble. It's blooming. It's about to pop. And I've heard, and I don't live in California, but I've heard from my friends that in many areas here, the real estate has dropped by 30 or so percent. Is that true? Yeah. They're talking, and I talked to some of my friends because I try to research these things carefully. They're actually trying to get rid of the penny, nickel, dime, and quarter, and they want to make a $2, a $5, and a dollar coin. Have you heard that? That's actually planned as well. They want to get rid of all of these smaller denominations because your dollar will be the new penny. I'm not kidding. Avian flu. I really believe the window, looking at the rate of this virus changing, mutating, and transferring, the window of 2007 to 2008, I think, is a very dangerous period. And isn't that amazingly coincidental that the president, April 1st, being, of course, we have our chief fool and leader in power, April 1st, 2005, he actually passed a executive order saying that everybody must bow to the president and roll up their sleeve and take a shot that may fry your brain cells, give you cancer, or be completely useless and wipe out your immune system if a real pathogen comes by. Regional nuclear conflict with Iran, and all of this is being pushed by Israel, has given us a timetable that in the next 5 months, if we do not attack Iran with nuclear weapons, they will. Our 102nd Air Division excuse me, is now guarding the Dimona reactor site and the Israeli nuclear weapons right now, so it's our armed forces restraining the Israelis from attacking Iran with nuclear missiles today. You haven't heard this on the news, but you heard it tonight. That 102nd is down there guarding the Israeli nuclear weapons firing facilities so they will not start World War III today. Okay? This is how close we are. We are 1 second to midnight. Not 10 seconds, not 10 hours. We are 1 second to midnight. If they attack Iran, here's the scenario. Russia's given the most advanced anti-aircraft system that they've ever developed, which is very deadly, to Syria and Iran. And most of the Islamic countries follow an ancient dictum that precedes Islam by probably 5,000 to 6,000, perhaps maybe 11,000 or 12,000 years. But it's me and my brother against my cousin, me and my cousin against my enemy. And once you get your stick into that bee's nest, you are going to have a real time. And these people, I happen to have friends in the IDF and advanced services all around the world, and I've seen satellite photos of the launching facilities in central Saudi Arabia, and they have two facilities that manned for the last 23 years by the communist Chinese.